Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's got so much to teach us, Lord, and that we can never, ever plumb its depths. There's always more to learn. More to learn about you and your ways and your plans for us, Lord, and your plans for the world and your people in it. Lord, we ask now that your Holy Spirit will open up your word to us and help us to understand it and to speak to us, Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to hear what you're saying to each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier on in the service, we were thinking about our gifts, special abilities that we or others have been given by God. And this morning, I want us to focus on this passage that Jonathan's just read to us from 1 Peter chapter 4, and in particular, verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So if we can have the first slide up, Peter. Thank you. And the next one as well. Thank you. We're going to look now about receiving gifts. The Bible has a lot to teach us about gifts. And as I said earlier, the day we became Christians, God gave to each one of us the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And he gave us other gifts as well. And in this short passage that Jonathan read to us, he doesn't actually list all the different gifts, but it mentions two broad categories of gifts. That's speaking, gifts of speaking, and gifts of serving. And included in that are gifts of service are natural and spiritual gifts. And I came across a helpful definition of a spiritual gift. It says, a spiritual gift is a significant ability given to each believer by the Holy Spirit, who enables and motivates members of the church to serve in special ways for Christ and his kingdom. So let's just look at that definition in a bit more detail. First, a spiritual gift is a significant ability. So it's ability in a certain area to be used for a specific purpose that's mentioned in the Bible. And also a special gift that's given to each believer. Everybody is given at least one gift by the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is that he doesn't just give us the gifts, he equips us, he gives us the ability, and he motivates us to want to serve the Lord and to want to serve one another. So he gives us the motivation, a new desire to serve. So we are given these gifts, not just to, if you like, bask in them, say, oh, it's a nice gift, I do like that gift, but rather to use it to build up the body of Christ. And some people have said and believe that God, in every congregation, God gives the gifts that are necessary for that particular congregation. And let us remember that the gifts are given not just to serve one another, but to glorify Christ and to build his kingdom. So we're all servants, if you like, all servants of Jesus Christ. And everything that Jesus does is to build up the church and to advance his kingdom. And if we exercise the gifts that God has given us, natural gifts as well as spiritual gifts, it will enable the church to carry out the work that God has purposed for it. So, Jonathan read out to us earlier in the All Age Talk some of the gifts that are given to believers, which they can use to serve the Lord and others. So the next question is, what is the purpose of the gift? So if we can have the next slide, Peter. The purpose of the gifts, what is the goal of the gifts? Well, those of you who might be familiar with the Westminster Shorter Catechism will know that it asks the question, what is the chief end or goal of man? What's the chief purpose of human beings, the life of a human being? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So one of the purposes of using our God-given gifts is to bring glory to God. And in this passage, Peter tells believers that the purpose for which the gifts are given is to serve others and to be faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So if you're a believer in Christ, you've been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to be used to serve others and to glorify God. And if anyone here is wondering what gifts God might have given them, perhaps spiritual gifts, then we can ask the Lord and ask him to show us. Sometimes the Lord has surprises for us, that he gives us a gift that we don't think that we will ever have. Many years ago at Bible College, someone said that they thought God had given me the gift of preaching. And I thought, that's highly unlikely. I was a person who didn't like to stand up at the front. I was someone who was very shy. And it couldn't possibly be a gift that God was going to give me. But God has surprises, and sometimes he gives us a gift we don't expect to be given. So let's think more about serving. What is our motivation in serving others? Well, if we have a gift, a spiritual gift or a natural gift, it might be tempting to use it so that we're popular with other people. But that's not what we're to use our gifts for. Our gifts are to serve one another in love and to use those gifts to glorify God. So, where do we use our gifts? Well, one obvious place to use them is within the church. I was going to say within the four walls of the church, but we do know that the church is not the building. But to use those gifts within the fellowship, we are the church of God. But he wants us to use our gifts in other places too, in our home, in our neighbourhoods, in our communities, in our schools. Wherever we go, the Lord wants us to be servants. So what is to be our attitude as we serve? Well, in verse 8 of our passage, Peter tells us that above all, we're to love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Yes, love is meant to be one of the ways that people, unbelievers, know that we're Christians, by the love that we have for one another. And it's that love that should motivate us and inspire us to serve one another, to serve God's children and to serve others. And I'm sure we're all familiar with the story in John chapter 13. In the night before, the night that Jesus was betrayed, when Jesus took a towel and a basin to wash his disciples' feet. Now let's remember, at that time, in that part of the world, washing a person's feet would have been about the lowliest task you would give to the lowliest servant. Let's face it, not many of us would want to kneel down and wash somebody's smelly feet and dirty and dusty feet, remembering that they wore open sandals and their feet would get very dirty and dusty. Sometimes we're called to serve doing things that we don't particularly want to do. Perhaps they're a little bit, distasteful to us. We might not want to do that, wash somebody's feet. I want to share another way that somebody in this fellowship serves one of their neighbours. Their neighbour has sort of various medical conditions. And as well as having nurses and carers go into their home, from time to time, some of his sort of tubes, as it were, come out, and he needs the tubes putting back in. And he needs it done quickly before a nurse or a carer can get to the house. And this Christian lady, she goes round to her neighbour's house and she helps put some of these tubes back in. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not into sort of medical things at all. I'm a bit squeamish when it comes to blood and things like that. It wouldn't be a job I personally would find very easy to do. But she, although she isn't a trained nurse or a trained carer, she goes round and she serves her neighbour by helping them with their tubes and various things, medical things, when they need help. It's not a job that's particularly nice, but it's a job that needs doing. She does it competently, she does it well, and she does it with the love that the Lord gives her. And she witnesses to the love of Jesus by, if you like, her servant heart. Do we witness to the love of Jesus by our servant heart, doing things that perhaps other people wouldn't want to do, jobs that we might not want to do, like washing feet, putting in medical tubes, but we still can show the love of God in those practical ways? And some of us might shy away from doing certain things that we think the Lord might be calling us to do. And the biblical example that first sprang to mind is Moses. If we read in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, we read that God calls Moses to serve him and his fellow Israelites by going to Pharaoh and bringing the Israelites out of Egypt in slavery. Well, as we know, Moses wasn't exactly enthusiastic about this call to serve, and he began making a whole raft of excuses why he couldn't or shouldn't do it. But if we stop and think about Moses for a moment, think about his gifts and his previous life experience, he was the ideal choice to serve in this way. First of all, he'd been brought up in Egypt, and he was brought up as a prince of Egypt, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter adopted him when she found him in that basket in the bulrushes. So we know that he had an Egyptian upbringing. He would have known the language. He would have grown up in the Egyptian court. He would have known Egyptian court procedure. He was in many ways the ideal choice to do that, to fulfill that particular calling. But he still felt inadequate. He didn't feel up to the job. He said he couldn't speak, so therefore someone else should do it. But as that shows, God doesn't waste any of our life experiences. God can use any of our life experiences if we're willing to let him use them in his service and in the service of other people. So let's each of us ask ourselves, ask the Lord whether he's calling us to use our gifts in a particular way in his service at this particular time. Perhaps we want to respond like Moses did in Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, when Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Not surprisingly, God wasn't pleased with Moses' response, but he did allow Moses to have what we today would call a job share. He allowed Moses to fulfill that calling with the help of another person, with the help of his brother Aaron. So the two of them together, if you like, teamwork, would serve God's purposes. And sometimes God surprises us by not using our previous experience and gifting, and he calls us to do something completely new. And one example of this was Chris Whitby and Jenny Vaughan. Now, Jonathan and I knew Chris and Jenny in our previous church. They used to worship there, and we were in the same home group. So we knew them quite well. And Chris and Jenny had always been involved in children's work at their previous church. But when they joined Girton Baptist Church, Chris said that they were really surprised when the Lord led them into doing work with older people, particularly Tuesday Friendship Group. It was, if you like, the completely other end of the spectrum. Instead of doing all children's work, they were called, felt called, and were called to work with older people, using different gifts to a different age group. It was, again, a different ministry, something quite new and that they weren't really expecting. So the Lord may call us to do something different to what we've done before. But so we need to be open to what the Lord might be calling us to do. When I was preparing this talk, a hymn came to mind. In fact, some words, specific words in this hymn. It's an old hymn, but the words are, "Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, and when, and where." So let's ask ourselves, are we willing to use our God-given gifts and skills and life experience how God wants to use us, when he wants to use us, and where he wants to use us? Are we prepared to give him, if you like, a carte blanche with our lives and be willing to go where he wants, do what he wants, and do what he wants, how he wants it done? Are we willing to perhaps surrender to him not only our willingness, but also perhaps, if that's the case, our unwillingness, and letting him guide and direct us? Many years ago, a Christian friend came up to me and said she thought God wanted me to be involved with youth work. Some of you may have heard of the Romsey Mill in Cambridge. Well, anyone less suited to youth work, you'll have a difficult job to find. It's not been my forte, it never has been, and I doubt if it ever will be. And I remember getting before the Lord and saying, with tears streaming down my face, "Lord, this really isn't me. But if you want me to do it, I'm willing to give it my best shot. And you'll have to give me the ability to do it." I asked the Lord and he guided me. And thankfully, he didn't want me to do youth work. He had something else in mind. But even though I really didn't want to do that, and I really didn't think I was suited, I actually bowed the knee and said to the Lord, "If that's what you want, Lord, I'm prepared to do it." But we'll never know whether I would have done youth work, because I don't think I'll be called to it now, but you never know. So we talked a lot about the Lord giving us gifts, but is it possible to lose those gifts? What happens if we do not use the gifts that God has given us? Well, I'm sure we're all familiar with the old saying, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And if we don't use the gifts that God has given us, if we don't use them faithfully for the glory of God, God can, if he wishes, take them away from us. Let's think about that story in Matthew chapter 25, or shall I say parable, in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, about the man who buried his one and only talent, and he didn't use it, and he didn't do anything with it. Now, we know that a talent there meant an amount of money, but it can be a talent in the modern sense of the word, a gift. And we can, if you like, bury it and not use it, and not use it for God's glory and to serve others. It's possible that that gift might be taken away from us. Sometimes Christians get rather fixated on the gifts that God has given them. And they seek various spiritual gifts, some of the gifts that Jonathan read to us in those passages early on. But some people almost get to the point where they're so focused on the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit, that they almost lose sight of the giver. And in that song that we heard on the video, I thought those words were very important. I seek the giver, not the gift. Yes, the gifts are wonderful, and they are given to us to use as stewards of God's grace. But we're not to focus on the gifts. We're not to worship them. We don't have salvation through the gifts. We are given salvation through Jesus Christ, the giver of those gifts. Let's remember to give the gifts their rightful place and to give the giver the central place in our lives. Let's now look at responses to God's gifts. If we can have the next slide, Peter. Thank you. The next question is, what is our response to God's gifts to us as individuals, as members of the body of Christ? Well, I want to look at the W word, which is willingness or the lack of it. As I said, when God told me he wanted me to preach, I most definitely did not want to do it. But the phrase that came to mind was, what has want got to do with it? Plenty of God's people, as we know from Scripture, have not wanted to do what God wanted them to do. We know we've already talked about Moses. We can think about Gideon. He didn't think he had the gift of leadership to lead an army to victory against the Philistines. But God gave Gideon and Moses and others the gifts and abilities they needed. He equipped them for their calling. Another response is a downright refusal to use God's gift as he directs us. And the person that springs to mind there is the Old Testament prophet Jonah. He already knew that he had the gift of prophecy, but he refused to go to Nineveh initially, and he refused to use it at God's first command. And we all know what happened to Jonah. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 to 7, Paul writes to Timothy, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And Scripture encourages us all to stir up the gift of God that's in us. And I particularly like how the contemporary English version puts it. "So I ask you to make full use of the gift God gave you when I place my hands on you. Use it well." Did you notice that it said make full use of God's gift, not neglecting it, not even making partial use of it? And in view of what God has done for each one of us in Christ, I would want to say that our response should be one of thankfulness to him, gratitude, and a desire to serve and glorify him with all the different gifts he's given us. And as I said earlier, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, as well as all the natural gifts and skills. And God commands us to employ it in a ministry of either speaking or service, or possibly you have one of each or both. If you do use your spiritual and natural gifts, you'll be contributing to the expansion of God's kingdom. And you can contribute to whatever God is doing where we are in our own, if you like, sphere of influence, in this community, in our families, in our neighbourhood. Now, as we get older, we might be thinking, well, there's not a lot I can do. Well, let's remember, first of all, that Moses was 80 when God called him to go and rescue the Israelites out of Egypt. But thinking of our own more perhaps limited lifespans than the one Moses had, even in our old age, the Bible teaches us, we can be fruitful. We can bear fruit for God's kingdom. I know I've shared it before, but I still want to share it again, that I know of older people, people who have been housebound, that they have had mobility problems, so they can't get out and about, and yet they have faithfully served the Lord into their 90s. One person that I know, she was housebound, but she used to proofread for Wycliffe Bible translators. Others have not been able to go out and share the gospel, but they've shared the gospel with everybody who's come into their home. For example, with the nurses, with the carers, the people who deliver the groceries. I know of others who've been sharing about Jesus with the bus driver, I should say. We don't have conductors anymore. There are all kinds of opportunities that crop up for us, whatever our age, to share the gospel, to give people tracts, to help them. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. All of us need encouragement. And that is one of the gifts that was mentioned in that list that Jonathan read. Some people have a particular gift of encouraging. And as we shared earlier, I think it was you, Carol, said about encouraging children and grandchildren. There are so many things we can do, whatever our age, whatever our natural abilities, whatever our physical abilities and limitations. God gives his people gifts to be used to serve others and build up the body of Christ. And even if it's a bit of an ordeal for us and not totally what we want or would have chosen, let's ask ourselves, are we willing to be obedient and use those gifts in his service as he chooses, God chooses? One of the other lines in that song that we heard on the video was, I know my life is not my own. God has given us life when we were born, and he's given us new life in Christ. And our lives aren't our own to do what we want with. We gave our lives to him when we came to faith in Christ, just as Jesus gave his life for each one of us. And if we've given our lives to him, then we know that our lives are not our own to do what we want with. They're his. And we want to put ourselves and our lives, whatever stage of life we're at his disposal, to serve him and to serve others. As I say, as we think about the cross and what Jesus endured for our sake, surely he deserves our love and obedience and our willingness to use the gifts he's given us to serve others and to bring glory to him. Amen.